You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Howdy, all. This is Bob Nightingale, America's so-called sweetheart. He says what Liam says. I'm not sure about that, but you listen to Pod and Lansdowne.
Our streak of missing big Red Sox news because we record too early, it continues yet again. Usually, Liam, we can kind of chalk these things up to, you know, it is what it is. We just missed it this time. But this is too big of a thing not to report on. We recorded originally Monday night here for this edition of Pod on Lansdowne. We're recording again Tuesday for a quick addition onto the full episode, which we'll get to. We'll get to Emily Nyman, given our New York Yankees preview. We'll get into other spring training talk about the Red Sox. But we have to get into this stuff first, Liam, because we had to. We couldn't responsibly host a Red Sox podcast, a baseball podcast, without getting into this. Women now are going to be in MLB Road to the Show, and people are pissed about it. Your thoughts? Hey,
listen, to me, our good friend Spencer, who was on last week's episode, put up a great tweet today making fun of the people upset about the whole deal. And it was a video of someone's MLB Road to the Show player who was just this absolutely massive freak flying and like levitating at one point.
Levitating towards home plate. That is the thing that you could do.
It was beautiful. I'm all for it. Maybe I'll give it a whirl. Maybe this will that's what'll get me to buy this year's edition. I have no other reason to.
The other stuff so far, I mean, like the addition onto the Negro League stuff has been pretty good so far. Like that's cool to see.
Yes, I did like that last year.
Of course, like the storylines. But outside of that, like they did a whole, you know, like the whole focus video on the Derek Jeter storyline mode. Like I'm not, that's not moving the needle for me. Exactly.
That's not going to get me to buy.
I need some new MLB legends being on there. Get us Nomar into the mix and then we're talking. But no, in all seriousness, it's awesome that, you know, you could do that for Road to the Show. But seriously, Pod on Lansdowne, the breaking news here that we just found out Tuesday morning, Lucas Giolito, very likely to miss the 2024 campaign. Liam, you said you have all the information in front of you. Give us the bad news, Doc. Give it to me straight, Doc. What's happening?
Per Jeff Passan. The initial diagnosis is a partial tear of the right UCL. So that's not helpful. That's the arm he uses to throw with, obviously. So never a good sign.
For reference.
Yeah. I'm no doctor. I just play one on television. But it doesn't sound like it's, for the most part, he's going to miss a majority of the season, regardless of what happens. If he needs Tommy John, yes, he's out for the year. It sounds like they're going to run some more tests, but the initial diagnosis is not good. Quite frankly, it's not good.
Obviously,
we woke up this morning. We woke up this morning, and the first report was like, he felt a little something. And then, boom, 5 minutes later, it's the UCL. He's gone.
Well, even then, it was like, at first, it was like, ooh, this, like, doesn't look good. Wasn't there a quote from Cora's, like, it's a bad day or something like that?
Yeah, like, he said something like, and I was like, oh, I don't like that. And then Passan comes in. It's the UCL. I don't know. I mean, it's not like guys haven't pitched with a partial tear before. It just comes down to how severe it is. Like, he needs this would be his second Tommy John if that's what the doctor orders, literally. Right. It's not good. I mean, hey, good for Giolito. Ultimate bag getter move.
He's part of the 25
next year. Exactly.
You know that Einstein quote, I don't know what weapons World War III will be fought with, but I know that World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. I don't know if Lucas Giolito will ever be a part of the 2024 Red Sox rotation, but he will be a part of the 2025 Red Sox rotation because he's definitely taken that. It's like $19 million opt-in for next year. Is. Oh, yeah. Sure so, is. Yeah.
And then since considering he will be picking up that option, then we get a club option for the 26 season. So, folks, Giolito's not going anywhere. He'll still be here in spirit, just not in body.
He exists on a different plane.
Obviously, him and Liam Hendricks and Michael Fulmer, they'll be hanging out.
Obviously a horrible break for Giolito. You know, it would have been great to have seen him throw 170 innings this year because that's exactly what this team needed. But first and foremost, hopefully it's a speedy recovery. Of course, we're just back at square one, man. That's what this.
it really is. We're back at square one on the eve of opening day. So that's your full throttle off season in a nutshell. We've bookended it really well.
It's just you have to kind of laugh, like not at Giolito's expense again to reiterate that, but like again to make another media reference. It's the random fish asking Plankton in SpongeBob when he's running the Krusty Krab, "Do you think this is funny?" And he replies in a cosmic sort of way, "Yes, this is funny. This
it is." I mean, from start to finish, it's been an off season for the Bucks.
From pie in the sky aspirations, not to cut
Ohtani,
you off.
Yamamoto.
We're like, Ohtani is maybe a little too much of a stretch, even for me. But you get Yamamoto, and then Montgomery's your two pitcher. You can enter the year with Pivetta as your four or even five starter. You might be right back in the hunt. Oh, when we were wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. it's the same rotation from you're short one minus Corey Kluber.
Corey Kluber,
I suppose, yes, but yeah, you're sure. Even then, like Sale was just kind of icing on that shit cake, I suppose. But yeah, you're basically at the same sort of spot right now.
I think you're in even worse shape. Because Giolito, like you said, you're expecting 170, 180 innings. Who's filling those innings now? Cooper Criswell? Josh Winkowski? Clearly, it looks like Halkin Whitlocker, a lock for the rotation now.
Which is great, because later in this episode, this very same episode, it's kind of like Memento, we're just like jumping around.
We're going back and forth.
Yeah. I believe it was you specifically, Liam, who said you don't want to see Josh Winkowski stretched out beyond like two innings at a time.
Sure looking like that's going to happen.
And I'm pretty sure I agreed with you, because I do agree with you. I think he's better served in the bullpen, but looks like we don't have much of a choice on that front. Like,
But I do, like you said, I do feel bad for Giolito. Like,
yeah,
he's like, I'm feeling good. Coming in for a bounce back year. Like, it seemed like the perfect pairing between what the team needed and what he was looking for. And, you know, what did he throw? He's done four innings in spring training so far. And then that's everything shit hits the fan. So yeah, I mean, it's not good for anybody. It's not good at all.
The innings factor, again, not to relitigate that point that we just made 45 seconds ago, but
where are they coming from?
I don't know. I don't know. Cause like they've gotten bullpen acquisitions for this year. Sure. Fine. Okay. And that can help carry the load if you do have to transition Whitlock to the rotation full time, and or if you have to do that same thing for Hauk, and or if you have to do that with Winkowski, right? You got guys like Campbell, you got a couple other guys who might be able to slot into those bullpen spots, which is fine. That's all well and good. And they got long-term potential plans at starting pitcher this year through the Verdugo trades, through some other transactions, giving up Johnny Leverage, giving up Schreiber, you get a potential future starter down the line. Man. Right. Yeah. It's in terms of a starter right now, though, you're caught with your pants down. We're 3 weeks away from opening day, 3 weeks in a day, as you hear this on drop day, this episode of the program.
You're down your number two starter.
Right. Exactly. Who you were hoping in a perfect world would have been your number three starter.
Yeah.
Which is a good transition. And again, we did talk some Monty being on the market here. But with the context of this news, I saw a little bit of both sides potentially saying this, where one side of the coin is, okay, Giolito's out, 170 or so innings, 180 innings, good chunk of innings on a staff that desperately needs the innings to be eaten by your starter, right? That could incentivize the team to speed up a deal for Jordan Montgomery, who can give you those innings, who can give you 170, 180 innings. He's thrown, I think, over like 160 the last 3 years or so, something along those lines. He can give you volume along with the quality that he provides. The other side of that coin, Liam, is, well, this is exactly why they won't give him money, because they
why would you invest in the team now?
Right. Like, you just invested a couple of dozens of millions of dollars into a contract. I understand it doesn't happen all at once, but you gave Giolito a bag for a couple of years, presumably. Obviously with the option that adds a caveat to that, but you went out and got him. Okay. For fuck the specifics. And he's not going to throw a pitch for you this year, potentially. So why would they be incentivized to go ahead and pay more if they've already been reluctant to do so? Obviously, I think that's a crock of shit idea. I think FSG should be spending more than what they've been spending. Again, we've talked about this until we're blue in the face. But that's what they're going to use as justification to not get a deal done for Montgomery or Snell. That's what I take from it. I don't know if you agree or disagree.
No, I completely agree. I think it's I saw Jared put out a tweet that basically laid this all out. It's like, to the folks that think this is going to get John Henry to shell out for Montgomery, like, this it's the complete opposite.
And, it's the exact opposite.
I truthfully believe that. You know, if he wasn't willing to invest in this team that was already on the fringe at best, why would he shell out for Montgomery and, you know, one, maybe end up having to pay the luxury tax. Two, to me, I mean, if it's just Montgomery coming in, it's not, he doesn't get you over the hump. Like, it's not a game changing move. Does it get you those innings? Yes. Does it get you quality innings? Yes. But
you need still a solid two or three guy on that championship team that you want to build. And that could be Montgomery. He's just not an ace.
Right. And it's just, you know, we went into the offseason needing two starters. Here we are. We still need
two
starters.
We're at -2. -1. Because Giolito would be a net neutral at that point, because, you know, it was more of a concept, you know. Lucas Giolito was a social experiment conducted by Harvard University. We are now concluded with our study. Thank you very much for participating. But now your short sale. But again, that even that is sort of like a Harvard
sociological study. Shockingly, he made 20 starts last year. So I can't be like, like losing Sale is not that big of a deal now. I mean, it kind of is. That's still
a deal still made sense. You know, hindsight 2020 on that innings.
Yeah. I mean, like, is it are we all better people for having moved on from that situation? Yes. But it does. But now you're like, yes, all the radio, the talking radio heads will be like, oh, like shouldn't have given up Sale now. But no, like the way the offseason was playing out, like 24 hours ago, we were like, we only need Jordan Montgomery. And this team,
we were just saying that this is not a bad team.
They're not far off. Now it feels like
you, the listener, will hear that in about like 20 minutes. Like,
but to me, it's also like it is a serious reality check where we're all melting down on Twitter all day. Where it's like, well, if Giolito was really that big of a difference maker, we weren't in good shape to begin with. So to me, it's a little sobering.
I think that's. I don't know if I 100% agree. I get what you mean. I think that's on the right track of it. But like, you could see the bare bones of a team that, if things broke their way, they could have been in a wild card conversation. Sure. I do think so. And I think a lot of that stems from the fact that, A, the defense is improved, which we'll talk about later in this program. The defense is improving. The offense can still hang with a lot of teams. And the bullpen is still competitive enough, especially if you hold on to Jansen. That's just another option to have. When saying that, like, would the Red Sox trade Jansen for a starter now to compensate for Giolito? Would that be a thing? I don't know.
I don't know what kind of starter you'd be getting though.
Yeah, I have no idea with the money there. Yeah, exactly. To make that work. Yeah, just an idea before you yell at me. but a lot of it was just like they just need front end starting pitching to eat those innings, and then if that comes together, you might be cooking with something. Now, granted, to assume health from the entire rotation top to bottom would be, that's a foolish endeavor in the first place, right? Yeah. Exactly. But you also don't anticipate that you're going to lose maybe the biggest volume pitcher you have on the staff to Tommy John, or presumably Tommy John, or however long it is. Like, if he's back on Labor Day, great. Yeah, you're already 10 games out of the race anyways.
It's over.
Might as well sit him. So it's, I get what you mean on, you know, having the problems if Giolito was the one card in the house of cards to fall to fuck everything up. But, you know, elsewhere on the team, again, it was, again, not a bad team. And then we kind of, again, go into that later as you listen to this episode. Sorry, we didn't have a crystal ball. But, you know, it's fucking exhausting, man. And again, but it's also kind of funny because, like,
it's a perfect way to cap off the off season.
We wasted our time for months.
The one major piece he added, folks, you might not see him at all this year.
Oh, and then the guy that you traded Sale for, he's going to be hurt to start the year too. Vaughn Grissom, by the way. Yeah. So. Again, not that you could, hindsight's 2020 there. Not that you foresaw that happening, but it's
still support the Sale deal. That doesn't,
to give an idea of the planning behind the show. There have been countless times, dear listener, countless times that we hop on this call, and whether it's me or Jake or Liam, we say we have nothing to talk about for the Red Sox, and we make it happen. We do make it happen. It still ends up, one of us will say, no, I got one or two things to mention. It's like, okay, but going into some of these recording sessions over the winter, one of us has been like, I have zero clue to what we're going to talk about, which makes me ask you, Liam, did we just waste our time for a couple months? Because it's the same fucking team.
Yeah, we're back to square one. This is the same team that wrapped up in Baltimore that first weekend in October. So yeah, I mean, I don't know where you go from here. I mean, they were tossing around Michael Lorenzen's name today on the timeline, which, not super inspiring, but he'd eat innings.
He's a guy.
That's the biggest thing. It's like, we need just volume, average innings. And right. You knew Giolito was going to give you that,
mm-hmm,
for the most part.
High upside with his strikeout abilities, potentially, right. You know what I mean? When he's clicking.
I look at Lorenzen's BREF off the bat. I mean, he pitched 153 innings last year. The ERA plus was 105. The career ERA plus is 105. The career ERA is 411. The career FIP is 432. I go over to his Savant page. Everything is mostly average.
Just a steady Eddie, just an average guy. Just a guy. He's
so,
a Jag.
I don't know, and Spotrac has him projected at a hair over 9 mil. I don't know if that's too rich for us. It might be. And that sounds terrible, but that might be too rich for us. And then
milk's too spicy there. Right? I got to dip my Oreos in water and that.
Because like I'm looking at what's left out here on the market, and I certainly don't see Snell happening. I really don't see Montgomery happening, especially now. I don't know how updated Spotrac keeps this, because like Hyunjin Ryu is still on this list. We know he signed in Korea. Julio Tehran signed with the Orioles recently, but I don't know. Some guys out here, Johnny Cueto, no thank you. Rich Hill, Jake Odorizzi, Zach Davies, Vince Velasquez. Like, this is it. Like, this is the bottom of the barrel. It does seem, looking at the names here, you could shoot for Clevinger, I guess, too, if you wanted. It's similar, in a similar vein to Lorenzen. But Spotrac has him getting like 13 and a half million. I certainly don't see that happening. So alternatives, Wink, Hauk, no more competition. You guys have made the rotation. Congratulations.
Paul Blackburn, you are a Boston Red Sox. Yeah. Knock on Oakland's door, right? We'll pay for your sodas for the year. But Paul Blackburn, he's coming to Boston. He's shipping up to Boston.
Shit is bleak, and we were trying to be positive too. Like the vibes, we were talking about the vibes are good. You'll hear it, dear listener.
I started the Red Sox conversation off by saying that the vibes are good in spring training. You know what? I'll wear that one, Red Sox Nation.
Did he know?
My hand is up now. I'm looking right into the camera. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jinx that whatsoever. I'm as disappointed as you are. I feel like Sam Kennedy right now. You know, we own this. We own that.
We own this. We're doing everything we can.
Yeah. my fellow Americans. My apologies. Fuck, man. It's gonna be a long season. It's the good news, is that by the end of the baseball season, it will also almost be the end of the election season. Almost.
That's true.
Almost. This is the last push there in October and early November. But listen to the rest of the episode. Man. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, either.
That's all I got. It's a sad day. It's a dark day. I feel like we're Walter Cronkite cutting in.
After a certain event in Dallas, Texas.
In Fort Myers, Florida.
Yeah. 3 o'clock Eastern time, 2 o'clock Central time.
President Giolito.
Got the glasses out. Yeah.
A day that'll live in infamy.
Well, that's a different national tragedy.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, our fireside chat, which we're kind of closer to that than we are to Walter Cronkite, to be fair.
Sure.
Fireside chat. So let's take a step aside. When we return, the full original episode that you were going to hear until Lucas Giolito's elbow decided to go kablooey. Well, not a partial kablooey. Partial tear, as you mentioned.
Partial.
Yes. So we'll be back. Oh, and Jake will also be joining us.
This is true.
We'll be back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
It's, I mean, The Sopranos is fantastic so far, my first time watching through it, but there are so many instances of where I'm sitting there and I'm like, the writers of the show are the biggest how do you do fellow kids people of all time. They just, they do not write convincing adolescents. No, 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 you know,
it's only when they have to write black people.
Jesus Christ.
No, I'm saying that's like a regular criticism of that show. Like, they straight up could not write black people.
Really?
Yeah, consistently.
I guess, yeah.
What's the rapper? Massive Genius?
Massive Genius, yeah.
Yeah.
Christopher Cohen, I know what time it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the most shallow, it's not even satire, I don't even know what to call it, of gangster rap, like that era, that late 90s. It's terrible. It's really bad.
The one that jumped out to me recently in terms of the how do you do fellow kids part, because I'm towards the end of season four, I think I have one more episode left of season four to watch, the finale.
Is it Paul Dano?
Well, no, that was a jump scare. That was hilarious. I texted you. I was like, "Is that fucking Paul Dano?" And you answered like, "Yeah, it is." But it's AJ who stinks, by the way. But it's AJ going upstairs with his girlfriend to quote unquote study. And this entire time, we're supposed to believe that AJ Soprano is like this thrasher kid, like, oh, listening to like metal, like, oh, look at me. Turns out he's smooching with his girlfriend, listening to of all songs, and much to my happiness, he's got Clocks by Coldplay on in the background. I'm like, AJ would not listen to a Rush of Blood.
I just, to the head. No. That's not. I think he's just. I disagree that that's problematic.
I don't think it's problematic. I just think it's like.
No, that, I think he's just trying to impress. That's the rich one, right? Is that the rich one?
Yeah, the blonde girl there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to show his sensitive side.
Yeah. No. Hey, I'm an AJ defender, actually.
Really.
Yeah, well, you'll come around late season six. You'll come
fair
around.
Enough. One of my buddies did point out. I texted a group chat of mine, and I'm like, "What does he bring to the show?" My instinct was like, "He brings the best line in the entire series. No fucking ZD. You don't have no fucking ZD without that from AJ Soprano."
I mean, listen, I could go on The Sopranos for the whole.
I don't want to get too far. Liam, are you?
I gotta be honest. I've never seen a single episode.
Liam, check it.
I feel like I've seen it just based off memes, but
there have been so many instances, Liam, where I'm like, oh my god, I've seen that referenced 15 times.
A lot of great memes.
Like Leo pointing at the TV.
Yeah. What's the when Junior's singing and is it Johnny who's crying?
Johnny crying. I use that one.
You've
a lot.
Tweeted that about 15 times. I gasped. I was like, oh, Liam, Jake does that all the time.
Yeah. Oh god, I mean, just in my favorites folder, I have probably.
Liam, nice. I started cheering when I knew that Silvio was going to say it's anti-Italian discrimination. I was like, ah, there it is. He set the line. He did it.
Well, my go-to is the Junior Soprano. Like, well, that's nice.
Yeah, I haven't gotten
I do love that one.
I'll tell you right now, that's late.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of put two and two together knowing that situation. Yeah. You know, like, I could see the writing on that wall. Not going to spoil if anyone hasn't seen the show. I understand that it went off the air almost 20 years ago, but, not going to be that guy.
No spoilers on Lansdowne.
No spoilers on Lansdowne. Never. That includes for Dune 2, because your boy has not seen Dune 2.
Yeah, yeah, we will not be... even though it's a book, then you may have...
You could just read it.
Yeah.
The problem is that I'm illiterate, so...
We don't read on this fucking show, all right?
It's called Lansdowne. Read. All right, not book on Lansdowne.
Illiterate on Lansdowne.
That is, you never know, times two. AKA Jake, sticking with the you never know. Just keep the counter up like we're at you never know times 37 for you, Jake.
That's right.
That's right. Hey, right. You never know. Never know. That's Jake. We're also joined by Shai Halusi, AKA Liam, the second Ussi reference from Dune on this podcast. Of course, Jake's banger of a tweet with Sophie the other day. I don't know if we talked about that on the pod, but that
we did
made me laugh out loud.
We did.
And then we don't even have time to go into all of Liam's bangers recently. It feels like every day this kid's firing something off. That's Liam. I am Bobby Jenks, a.k.a. Fitz. This is Pod on Lansdowne. We thank you very much for joining us once again here on the program. We continue with our American League East preview this week.
with the New York Yankees. Emily Nyman back on the podcast for yet another appearance, our residential Yankees expert on retainer. It was great to have her back onto the pod. Embrace her for the reality of rooting for Alex Verdugo, because it's something that she's going to have to get used to, isn't it, Jake? I like getting you off guard when you're not, when you're kind of zoning out. I like being able to, like, I'm going to pick on Jake here.
Well, yeah, we go into Verdugo with Emily, but yeah, I'm not sad to not have to deal with his shortcomings this season. I'll say.
First half will be special. First half will be special.
Yeah, oh, yeah, first 3 months, good fun.
Right,
that honeymoon, that honeymoon phase is going to be something special.
The I love yous are going to be great. Yeah, it's a whole thing there.
Oh, I did mean to ask her, and maybe this is a spoiler we didn't get into. I meant to ask, like, I guess hypothetical for us Red Sox fans, if they get off to a slow start, or if they have a similar record as they did this past season with 82 wins, do we think Brian Cashman, like, ever gets the hook?
No, I don't think Hal has.
I thought you were going to say, if they suck this year, do they trade Soto at the deadline?
No. I meant to ask about Cashman, and we never got to.
Well,
it,
do we? What about what I said? What do we think?
I don't think they would trade him.
Nah, I don't even see them doing that.
No,
either.
I mean, you could recoup a lot of assets
with the expanded wild card spot. They would still be able to convince themselves. You know what I mean?
Try to just sneak in.
The American League East is so much of a slog. Where, yeah, maybe they would have an unrealistic shot at the division, but they still might be able to slide into a wild card there, because no huge teams are pulling away on that front. You know what I mean? Like, because if they're going to hang around 82, 83, 81, however many low 80s wins, they'd still be in the mix, presumably, mix-ish, by the time the deadline rolls around. I think the baseball
trade deadline is at a pretty good
spot. Yeah, I think it's at a pretty good spot in general. Maybe kick it down like a week or two with the expansion, but generally speaking, I feel like it's in a pretty good place. You compare it to some other leagues. I mean, the NHL trade deadline not even happening yet. Don't the playoffs start in like a month and a half, Jake?
I think the later the better.
I think so. I would push the MLB deadline back a whole month.
The later the better. Nobody does anything. You get more defined buyers and sellers, and there's more action.
Yeah.
I would want more teams to be incentivized to buy. That's what I would want.
No, see, that's not.
But then they don't. That's the problem.
Yeah, because there's just a finite amount of pieces to buy. If there's more buyers, there's less sellers.
Good point. It's called supply side economics. Then, yeah. Okay, fair enough. You convinced me. Fair enough.
There's only so many bodies to go around.
Point is, I don't think the Yankees would be sellers in that situation. I don't think so. But going back to your...
Look at us the last 2 years. We could have bought. We could
no
have sold.
No team should take notes from the Boston Red Sox deadlines the last 2 years.
In 22, Liam, they did both. They bought and sold. It's not that they didn't do either. They did both.
Maybe that was Hines.
Deadline acquisition, Tommy Pham. You know what?
Hines undoing.
Tommy
Pham
brought a team to a World Series this year.
What'd you say, Jake?
I was making fun of the Tommy Pham deadline acquisition, but then I was like, well, he brought a team to the World Series this year, so.
He's still out there. He could be ours. We could bring him home.
He didn't sign? I thought he did.
Did he? I could have swore he was still out there.
One of us is right on this situation. But going back to your original point there, Liam, no, I don't think Hal Steinbrenner has the nads to say see you later to Brian Cashman. Cashman knows where all those bodies are buried. You know what I mean? He's got
They're
a job
under
for
Giant
life
Stadium.
There. George would have already had him out the door, but Hal, he doesn't have the stamina to do that. I don't think that would happen. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we like to shit on Brian Cashman, but when was the last time the Yankees had a losing season? Like,
I don't know.
Before a long time. That's not a rhetorical question.
Before any of us were born?
In 04. Let me look. They had a losing week in 04, that's for sure, towards the end of it.
1992, 76 and 86.
Yeah. 1992 is the last time they had a losing
season.
God,
we were so close. We were on the verge of greatness last year. I thought I had called
it,
too.
When did Cashman take over the job?
Let me see.
This is a Red Sox podcast, by the way. We will get into the Red Sox, but now we're on a tangent.
There's not much on that front, frankly.
There's one thing I wanted to mention.
Okay.
But put it on ice. I want to... When did you catch...
Liam's over here. He's
well, got his AOL dial-up over there.
The bullshit is, like, B-Ref gives you, like, if you pull up all the teams, like, year by year, they'll give you, like, the manager and the player that led in war, but then they don't give you the general manager inside. It looks like 98 was Cashman's first year.
So you're coming up...
As GM.
You're coming up on 3 decades of him not having a losing season as an executive. That's impressive, man. Like, I like to shit on Cashman. We like to make fun of his comments when he's getting flustered with the media, of course. But call a spade here, man. Like, you'd be hard pressed to find an executive in any sport that has a track record like that. Drill, you do not under any circumstance gotta give him credit, gotta hand it to him. But
should I hand it to Brian Cashman?
In this situation, you gotta give a little bit of credit if you're gonna keep it a buck, I think. And no, they're not gonna pull the plug on that.
Nobody's here for that. Let's move on.
Yeah, anyways, yeah, I'm gonna get
nobody's here to
De Niro reaction? Fuck him.
Fuck
him. Sorry.
CNN. Yeah,
I know. Fuck I was em. Thinking of Pesci in The Irishman when you go fuck them. Fuck them.
I don't know if I know that clap.
Older Italian guy saying fuck them in multiple instances of it.
Yeah,
dime a dozen.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, and grass is green. Breaking news, but gentlemen, this week I don't know if it's just because like we keep going in circles. Regarding like the Montgomery talk and like we keep saying full throttle, this, that, the other thing. But this week specifically, after doing a little bit of reading, I feel a little bit more optimistic about the Red Sox. Not fully on like delusional, like optimism, but I'm looking like the reports out of spring training camp for the Boston Red Sox that like the camp is like loose. Like the guys seem to be getting along.
The vibes.
Good vibes. You know what I mean? And obviously, that's not anything you can quantify, you know what I mean? Vibes is just sort of a concept that we have in our head. But, you know, there's still something to be said about that, I think. Guys, I mean, hopefully, finally you get a healthy Trevor Story into the door. Improved defense. Steps from your corner bats. You get Yoshida off of his feet in the DH spot consistently. Maybe he's able to take a step forward, too. I don't know, man. That mixed with the positive vibes down
Fitz,
in Fort Myers,
know.
I feel you never know, Jake. You never know.
You said you couldn't quantify it, but we have the second best record in the Grapefruit League,
right?
True. That's
you know what I mean?
True, Liam.
The numbers aren't lying. The numbers.
Who's first? The O's.
Yeah, they're 9-2. We're 7-4.
Okay, so we're a wild card team. Right. Bang.
Run differential +7.
I'll tell you what. Okay,
who said we weren't going to get some hardware this year?
Let's go
with this.
Grapefruit League champs.
Like,
you'll never sing that.
What's the Mayor's Cup or whatever? It's awesome. The Twins.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Here's where I'm at. It's like you don't. The Red Sox roster does not suck. Like there's teams whose rosters suck, and it's like even if things go right for them, they
like
stink.
The White Sox.
Yeah.
They're a bad
exactly.
baseball
team. Sucks.
The Pirates suck. The A's suck.
Yeah.
Like they're a bad baseball club.
Yeah, that's
the
not
Rockies
us.
Suck.
And I don't think a lot of people think, you know what, some people might. There's a lot of stupid people out there. I don't think a lot of people think that that's where we're at. But it's like the Red Sox, the 2024 Red Sox as constructed, if things go right, it could be a great year. But the thing is, a lot needs to go right.
Yeah, and that's not lost on me, 100% not. You know, there's still question marks about the pitching, how much they're able to contribute, especially in the wake of the 2023 rotation, which was catastrophically bad. I think that's kind of really, at the end of the day, what sunk them last year, the fact that you couldn't get guys who were able to consistently pitch for you. But that's besides the point. You're right, it's not a bad team. It might be a team that finishes last place again, which is bad. But in a vacuum, the team, Liam, is not... It's not bad. It's not a bad team. It's not necessarily a good team.
I say if we're... No. I say if we're going glass half full this episode, like, I don't know, you already said, like, the defense should be better this year. The bullpen should still be a strength of the team.
Listen, several things have gone cataclysmically bad if the defense isn't better than last year. Like
it's hard to be worse.
Like
little league outfielders at that
performance.
Like,
yeah,
the whole team, they had one. The whole team.
Ow!
if the D is worse than last year.
Glass half full, though. I do like that optimism of it going forward.
The vibes
especially
are good.
The defensive side of it. The vibes that was are awful. Good.
No, I mean, the defense, I mean, I think, quite honestly, what's going to make or break them this year, and to me, it's the base running. Like
that's gonna make or break them.
I think it is, because I think they're gonna be in these close games. I don't see them blowing anybody out. I don't see them like really shutting teams down on the pitching side of things. Like, I think there's gonna be a lot of close games. We saw it last year. There were a lot of one run games they played in.
Yeah.
So if you're getting thrown out on the base paths, I mean,
your best currency is outs. You know what I mean? You can't burn those.
We've been chipping away at our bad base runners the last like three seasons. We love Vaz, Benny's gone. Verdugo's gone. Benny. Yeah,
I was gonna Liam. The
well, Fabulous.
Yeah, he fucked up yesterday.
He made a blunder.
The Blue Jays. Yeah, that idiot. That dumb idiot.
I was gonna say something happens though, Liam. Once you put on that Boston B hat and you put on that classic Red Sox jersey, your ability to understand how the bases
start
work
stretching.
Out
you
the
try
window.
Stretching.
You out go. The window.
You just go
your
blank.
Concept.
Everybody blacks out. They start hearing the Kill Bill sirens.
I feel like was Massa, he was a bad base runner, right?
Well, I think back to the triple play against
him. Yeah, well, that was him. Yeah, he was in that.
He was the final out, yeah.
There was that.
Yeah.
Didn't like Reese McGuire have that fuck up against, I think it was the Blue
against
Jays?
The Blue Jays. It ended the game, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Connor Wong.
Well, he's not long for this roster.
It's just another brick in the wall of bad Red
Liam,
Sox
what were you going to, you think he's out?
There's been a lot of talk about
Roberto
Perez. Yeah.
Fuck it.
Literally, Sunday. I mean, he's like connected to Cora's hip there on the bench.
What does Reese McGuire give you, really? Funny
slap
jokes.
It, slap
that's
it
about
in singles.
It.
I was going to say, there's like 5,000 different directions you can go.
Some funny jokes.
Sometimes it's better not to even touch it. Just leave it up to the imagination. Insert joke here. Because what does he do?
No, Roberto Perez. I was reading. Yeah,
we didn't even mention.
He said that some guys in the Sox rotation could have Cy Young futures.
Yeah.
Listen, pal. Pump the brakes a little bit.
Right? He was likening them.
He
to
wants
like
that job.
20,
he wants
he was
that
likening
job.
Them
bad.
To the 2016 Cleveland team with like Kluber and Bauer and Carrasco. I'm like, oh, let's take a step back. I get it, but I mean, to be fair, the team has exciting arms. There's potential there. We know it.
Cutter, that cutter just, breakout. That
oh
cutter.
My god, fastball was looking nasty.
I'm all in.
Sunday.
I am all in.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be. He's one of those sort of guys that Cutter Crawford potentially could be an X factor for the team after a season where, again, so much being left to be desired in the rotation. And then he steps in and he's able to give you quality. Then doesn't have to be anything so crazy. 170 innings of solid, like 2-3 starter upside like that. Again, doesn't have to set the world on fire, but just to have that sort of stability, I'd absolutely take that from Cutter if you offered to me. If you offered that to me right now, 100% would.
I gotta agree. I did like, we got confirmation today about, I mean, that final spot in the rotation, which looks like it's coming down to Whit, Houck, and Wink. And it sounds like Wink, regardless of what happens, he's not starting the season in AAA, which to me is great, because why?
Yeah, let him have it. Let
him
have it.
Why would you waste him down there anyway? We saw what he can do out of the bullpen already last year.
Yeah, I haven't understood that.
I don't understand why we would stretch him out again. So,
Well, I don't understand why we would stretch Whitlock or Houck out again either.
Well, I mean, they in a perfect world, they'd all be in the bullpen. In a perfect world.
Hey, Liam, what is my name?
You
say?
Never know. You never know.
You never know.
Two times. Count them.
Things look okay in camp, but let's talk about out of camp for a second. Might I, Fitz?
What do you want to bring up? We have to go to break.
Okay, so let's go to break.
So,
ooh, that's a tease.
There you go, right? Well, you're not going to remember the tease because we have a whole ass interview in the middle of it. So,
That's
the thing here. We're going to take a step aside. We'll get to that thing out of camp after this segment. But when we return, first things first, Emily and Iman back on the pod to talk more Yankees. I mean, we just did some Yankees talk now, but Hope you like the Yankees talk, because you're about to get more of it on this Red Sox show, and then we'll be back with Red Sox talk. Continuation of our American League East preview first, though. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
She's back. I think this is the fifth time we've had you on the program, Emily. Fourth or fifth?
I think fifth. About fourth or fifth.
We were just saying. Yeah, we were just saying off air that I think you're the top of the leaderboard in terms of guests coming onto the show. But it's Emily Nyman, folks, as we continue our American League East preview. Gotta talk about that team in the Bronx. The New York Yankees on the docket for this episode. And, of course, we had to bring Emily back on. Welcome back to Pod on Lansdowne. It's been a couple of months. The last time we talked was the Alex Verdugo trade. Since then, hope things have been going well, and it's great to have you back.
Yeah, things have been going a lot better, like literally the day after that trade. And I'm psyched to be back. Baseball is nigh upon us, the opening day, that is. And I'm really excited. Really
baseball
excited to be
is nigh men upon us.
Like that.
And this is actually the first time that you're on with Liam and Jake. It's nice of these two guys to show up. I do appreciate you, Liam and Jake, being part of the podcast that has your name attached to it.
Yeah. No, we're happy to be here.
Our name is nowhere. Oh, I guess it's in the logo, right?
Yeah.
It's Jake and Liam. Yeah.
It most certainly does. There. Yes. Yeah. So. And the bios too on
well, here
Twitter
I am.
Has it there.
Right. Well,
they got to keep the lights on, you know. So
exactly. So you mentioned Emily. Let's just start right into this. I'll rip the Band-Aid off in regards to New York Yankees talk. When you were last on here, like I had mentioned, Alex Verdugo had just been flipped from Boston to the Yankees in exchange for a couple of arms. And if you recall, I ended that conversation with something along the lines of, I didn't go back and listen to it. I could go back and listen to it afterwards, but I said something along the lines of like, oh, you're excited to get Juan Soto, kind of like tongue in cheek, but also like, oh, this is gonna come to reality. Turns out it fucking did. Juan Soto is one of the newest members of the Yankees. Why? I guess that's my first question. Why
not is the real question that you should be asked.
Because it hurts my feelings. That's why. I don't like it. Don't appreciate it.
I'm really glad that you said that your comment was tongue-in-cheek, because mine wasn't. I was definitely like as low as I possibly can get, because when that trade happened for Verdugo, I was like, this is it. This is their answer for left field. This is how we are responding to the worst season in my memory as a fan that was like not supposed to happen.
Which they still had a winning record for, by the way.
82 solid. Wins.
Listen, I don't want to hear it from you guys, okay? Boston Red Sox fan, this isn't 20 years ago, all right? You guys can't be like, oh, boo-hoo.
We are the right? biggest so babies in the world, yes, but we will
really
continue
are.
To do yes.
I am ecstatic. I'm not one, I barely watch spring training. I'm not one to get really that excited about any sort of result. But of course, that being said, Juan Soto is obviously going to have a 200 OPS throughout the entire season because he's done it in the last seven games. If I were you guys, I would dread playing the Yankees this year. And thanks to me, the Yankees are going to have a losing record against the Red Sox because I just said that. And I'm feeling very cocky on this podcast right now for no reason at all.
Monkey paw.
Yes. I mean, I was feeling good coming into this because, hey, we did finish in fourth place and you losers were in fifth place. So I am That's feeling true. Pretty high and mighty right now.
I got to say, like, obviously Juan Soto being a part of that lineup is it's scary. I mean, that paired with Judge from the left and to the right. I mean, There's no two ways about it. Even if it is just for the 1 year of Soto, it's like it kind of gives you a little bit of a chill. I'm curious, though, I guess the first legitimate question with the Yankees after a disappointing year in the Bronx, no two ways about that. The rest of the lineup, is that going to be able to pick up the team? Because I feel like that's kind of been a thing with the Yankees the last sort of years. That's very top-heavy lineup. You know, whether or not you get a healthy year from Stanton, maybe he's able to produce. Obviously, Judge is great towards the top. But the second half of the lineup, it's not necessarily a rising tides lifts all boats situation. So going into 24, outside of your big hitters, your Sotos, your Judges, how confident are you in the rest of the lineup being able to carry that weight and try to take the Yankees to the next level?
You know, I can't say I'm brimming with confidence, but you guys know how it is that, like, last year, a lot of it, and Yankee fans and no fans of any team really, when it happens, your team want to hear this, but last year was a lot of bad luck for the Yankees in terms of a lot of catastrophic injuries and bad seasons happened all at the same time. Like, you couldn't predict Rizzo with a concussion. DJ LeMahieu, you could predict that a little bit. I kind of been saying that for all these years, that he was just a solid 100 weighted run created plus player. But all of these guys had down years. Judge got hurt. And I think that their revolving door over the last few years of refusing to have, like, the same lineup, the same, no one in left field, basically, just, you know, your Oswaldo Cabreras, who aren't major league players. So I have more confidence than I've had in the past few years, if for no other reason than they needed to bring in another superstar. Giancarlo Stanton's getting older. You can't depend on him, right?
Stinks, yeah, like, man.
Could he have a resurgence? Maybe. But is he going to? Probably not. So you had to bring somebody else in. It can't just be him. But
I
the rest
think
of the lineup,
you know? I don't think I realized how bad it was until I have Baseball Reference up here. And
yeah.
Stanton?
Outside of Judge, the only other, like, everyday player with an OPS plus over 100 was Glaber.
Glaber did have a good year. I should mention that.
Yeah. And then the other two players that made appearances for the Yankees last year with an OPS plus over 100, Jason Dominguez, who played 8 games, and
but what Woo an Sox, 8 games it was.
Woo Sox legend Greg Allen is the other one.
Greg Allen had games. An OPS yeah. plus over 100?
119. How many games did he play? He played 22.
Oh, wow.
Justin Bieber meme. Hey, girls, I'm Justin Bieber. And hey, I'm Greg Allen. Yeah, shout out Greg Allen in terms of that. But yeah, wow. I mean, and you mentioned a revolving door. Speaking of Glaber, isn't he on a walk year? If
yeah,
I'm not
he
mistaken.
Is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's another interesting.
That whole team is on that whole offense is on a walk year.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, and that's what. It's funny because people were like, oh, trade Glaber. And it's like, trade Glaber for who? So then there's a worse second baseman. Like, how many people think, like, how many second basemen do people think are in the league that can, like, hit over 100 weighted runs created plus? You know what I mean? Like, there's not that many heavy hitting second
basemen.
Counts
on one hand, probably your Altuve is your Albies, right. You know, on his day. And then you just saw it from Glaber there, too.
Yeah, exactly. So besides him and Soto, like, oh, he's a rental. Like, listen, you guys know it only takes one season to win a World Series. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I'd love for them to lock up Soto. I expect them to have some sort of deadline activity because a lot's going to be depending on Rodon, the rotation Oof. Now with what's-his-face in it, Stroman.
Forgetting about him.
Rodon.
So there's a lot of things questions that will be answered by July.
How much confidence do you have in a bounce-back year from him?
I have some confidence. I think that he's going to do a lot better. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, 100%, because I am a negative New Yorker, and that's just not how I roll about anything at all, ever. But I think that last year, you know, he's lost a little bit of weight coming into spring training this year. He looks good. He's not coming in with some sort of fucked up injury like I feel like he did last year. So I gotta believe, right? I gotta believe.
On the positive side, given the recent rumor mill regarding the baseball offseason, there is a possibility that Carlos Rodon is not the only disappointing big money free agent left-hander within the rotation, because Blake Snell might be joining him as well, so they could be like two peas in a pod if they all crash and burn together. A pair of lefties in the Bronx just getting shelled. I would love to see that personally.
Yeah, I bet you would.
In all seriousness, like, how much are you buying into the Blake Snell rumors now too? Because I mean, opening day is just a couple of weeks away now at this point, and the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner is still out on the market, and again, rumors that I've seen, we just looked it up before you joined the call here, Emily, it's that the Yankees still seem like they might be honing in on him. So,
well, it's the same thing with us, right? And Montgomery, it feels
not,
like it's
not
the
so
same.
Much with Snell. Yeah, I was going to say with more
no,
Montgomery.
I mean, like, it's the same, like, it makes enough sense. Just
we talked about it last week. What was the Yankees' offer to Snell? It was like 125.
Nice. I think it was like 30 average annual venue, or like
and
something
it's definitely
close.
Better than whatever he's getting now.
Was it close to what Rodon got, or something like that? And
I think it was maybe a little less.
So they offered him 5 years, 150, and then so Snell turned it down. But then the Yankees were like, okay, like we'd go over what we gave to Rodon, and Snell. Camp, I guess, was still like, no, we're holding out for more. But this was like the beginning of February, so it was only 4 weeks ago.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I wouldn't hate it.
I don't
it.
Understand how that's shaking out.
You wouldn't hate it. Okay, so you're if you aren't already aware, and for the listeners who may not be aware of themselves, this is a very anti-Blake Snell podcast for the most part, especially spearheaded by Jake and a little bit myself, but Jake is definitely in on that train. But you're in on the idea of Blake Snell joining... Well, rejoining the American League East this time, just in pinstripes.
Well, because my thing is, the one thing the Yankees have been good at over the last few years, especially, is being able to develop a lot of different talent from pitchers. And obviously, Blake Snell comes with his own talent. It's not like he's some diamond in the rough, like a Clay Holmes that they got from the Pirates or whatever for nothing. So I'm not saying that he's going to come here and be like some super version of himself, but I can't knock the Yankees process when it comes to pitching. So if Blake Snell came here, I have to imagine that Matt Blake, the Yankees pitching coach, sees something in him, sees something that they can work on to try to prevent his downswings that he has between Cy Youngs. So, I mean, if the Yankees have faith in him, then I have to have faith in him too, because they haven't done a lot right in the last few years, but pitching has not been really their issue.
I gotta say that's way braver than like what I would say if we got Blake Snell. I'd be like, gosh,
I don't
make me queasy.
I was gonna say it's the complete opposite for us. We can't develop pitching. But
hey, we did that one time. His name was John Lester, and he was awesome. He was great.
It was 15 years ago.
2013, Clay Buchholz. Man, I'm telling you.
Well, you guys might get Monty. I mean, but also Boston and New York. We're rumored to be in on every single free agent, even if they haven't spoken to them at all, because that's always in the mix, right? They want other teams to believe that the Yankees and the Red Sox are like hawking these guys. So who knows what to believe?
The only difference is that one of us actually might be able to fool them. We're not fooling anyone by saying, oh, we're in on all these, you know, the last couple of years of how things have gone. Liam, what were you saying there? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I just said I love being used as leverage. I feel like that's all that's happened this winter.
Yeah. At least somebody has some faith in you guys this year, right? Even if it's just the press.
Yeah. Sometimes, what's that Lady Gaga quote? Like, you just need one person to believe in you, and like you could do it or something like that.
No. I think it. Wait, hold on.
Jake, this is right in your wheelhouse here.
Yeah. You know, but... No, I know. It's. And there could be 100 people in the room. There could be 100 people in the room, and 99 don't believe in you, and you just need one to believe, and that was him. And that was about Bradley Cooper. She said that many times about Bradley Cooper.
Well, we're talking about it with Bob Nightingale.
John Heyman.
Oh, yeah. Just arson judge there. So, you know, going back to what Jay can mention and what I meant, people being on walk years here for the Yankees. With your finger to the pulse, Emily, on the evil empire, how make or break is 2024 for the Yankees? Because on one hand, I mean, yeah, again, all things being equal, it is a very talented roster, especially if everyone's healthy and clicking, but it's a competitive division. You know, there are teams out west, obviously the defending world champion may not be as good, but they'll still be in the mix. The Astros, of course, are going to be there. And with questions beyond 24, like, is this like, this has to be the year for the Yankees if the Bronx is not going to burn to the ground, like it has to be saved by the 2024 Yankees? What's the feeling like within the Yankee fandom?
I mean, they definitely have to make some sort of run. You know, obviously a World Series is always the goal, especially as a fan, but it's really hard to do. It's really hard to win the World Series.
Only one team can do it.
Right. Only one team can do it. The best team doesn't always win that short tournament. So they just have to at least get there, and they have to be a little bit more competitive. Like I want them to get back to like a 2019 sort of run. Obviously I'd prefer for it to end differently, but like the 2022 Yankees, they made it to the ALCS, but it was like a flash in the pan. They got swept. It was horrible. It was embarrassing. It was the first Yankee playoff game I'd ever been to. It was game three. They lost 5-0. I'm still really upset about that, and they owe me because I went to that game. So I need them to make a run. I know the fans are always chomping at the bit for one. And is this the only year? No. I think that, you know, they have another year or so from Judge and Cole. But is that window closing in terms of their window, Judge and Cole? Yeah, it is. So I think that if it's not this year, that they're going to have to retain Glaber, they're going to have to keep Soto, that they're going to have to spend big money. And in terms of that, I don't worry about the Yankees. Like, I feel fortunate that I was born in an area where the team that I root for spends a lot of money in relation to every other team in the league, or at least most of the teams. So I have no doubt that if they get there and they get close and it doesn't happen, then I think that they're going to try to run it back as best they can, because the formula works. So we'll see.
I'm going to choose to believe it's an abject failure if it doesn't happen. I'm just built different. I am going to laugh. No, that's an interesting outlook on it, though, you know, because there are, with a lot of the question marks in terms of the, you know, the talent that might be out the door or retained, some decisions to be made there. But that's probably a breath of fresh air compared to what other Yankee fans might be saying. I feel like a lot of the Yankee fans would say, like, no, it has to be. Like, this is the year. You know, we've been in the mix for, you know, post-Jeter, post-Rivera, like, really starting around, like, what, like, 2016, 17, when they really started to come onto the scene.
Baby Bombers.
Yep, exactly. You know, Glaber making his debut, then Judge bursting onto the scene. Since then, they've consistently been in the mix, just haven't been able to take that next step. So I would have thought, before hearing that most people would be impatient, most Yankee fans, but that's an interesting perspective to hear that. That's like, you know, like, even if it doesn't happen this year, they can just run it back in 25.
And like, it's tough for me as a fan to have a World Series or bust mentality, because it's such a long season. I watch basically 162 games, plus other teams too. So like, I can't have that mentality. It's too much of my personal time that I am putting into this team and paying attention to it and talking about it and doing my own podcast, being on other shows, for me to view it that way. You know what I mean? Because then it's like, okay, then what a fucking waste of my time. Like, 6 months, I'm just like, oh, if they don't win a World Series, what a total waste this was. Like, you know, I got to take it one day at a time with this team. When they play really well, it's a lot of fun to come home from work and watch them every single day. So I'm just feeling really, really refreshed that they went and got Soto, because that was a move they were not making in the last few years. And obviously I'm not going to downplay signing Aaron Judge, and I'm not going to downplay even signing Rodon last offseason, even though his first season was a stinker. Gerrit Cole was the last like big move that they made that I remember like being up at midnight, like almost having tears in my eyes that I couldn't believe they made this move. Like, it just felt like all the pieces were falling into place. And that's how getting Soto felt, that they actually went for it. They traded some really valuable players that have been valuable to this team at a major league level. So it really showed me that, okay, maybe they have turned a page, and Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner have turned a page here, that it's like, listen, fans are getting restless, that I feel like I'm an anomaly in terms of how patient I am and how I don't view it like the way most do. So I think that they're aware of that. And I can only hope that that means that if things are going well through July, that they make a move that's going to maybe put them over the top, or at the very least put them in a position to win that tournament come October.
Putting the Yankee talk on ice for just a second, just bringing it back to Soto. How fucking bad does that trade look for the Padres now, man? Someone mentioned that, I think, on Twitter earlier today, and it comes into the mind.
Looked pretty bad
to begin with.
I didn't think it was like a hindsight thing. I was like, oh, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, Michael King is good, but he's not that good.
You're like it's also only mind. 1 year.
Oh, I meant like Padres with the Nationals. That's what I was like, them getting Soto.
Oh, you know, they got
wouldn't it have been? That's hilarious that like you could argue both ways. No, it was a bad trade for the Padres to get Soto, and it was a bad trade to get rid of him. Like,
I was gonna 100%. Say, this is only sort of related to Soto, but I think like 99% of the time, you should never sell your upcoming free agent like before the season. I would say you should literally always wait until the deadline. I feel like people get so fucking stupid come trade deadline. They throw
Look at what they gave up for him.
Yeah, Mookie is the same thing. Like, I feel like if you just, I mean, that was COVID, so I don't, you know, that's a whole thing. But I just feel like deadline trades always, that is the that is always the seller's market. And I feel like when these, like this Soto trade, it's like you get rid of these guys a full year before they hit free agency. People aren't, they're not scared, or I don't know what it is, but like the return's always a lot more lackluster. So I mean, good for the Yankees, I guess. But
well, and especially because the Padres,
what was the big name? Fucking
Michael King.
Was it? Yeah,
Kyle Higashioka.
Whatever. Who fucking cares? Like, what is that?
Higashioka, the home run stroker.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, do we have Soto?
The Nets made out like bandits in that deal and the year before when they moved Scherzer and Trey Turner. Like, I feel like they, of all people, are sitting pretty.
Ruiz. Who
Gray.
Else?
They got Ruiz and Gray.
Yes, that's right. Josiah Gray.
So did what's his face debut Soto's home run call yet? Or does he not do spring games? Or does he hold off until the? Oh, okay.
They have to thaw him out.
Yeah,
because they're freezing in winter.
I also, even if he did do spring games, I would hope that he doesn't drop the new ones until the season.
Until like opening day. Yeah.
No, right now he's like on the bus, like from like 8 Mile scene, like coming up with all the different rhymes.
Looking up. Well, Susan, like it's just like he's still like bottom
headphones on, just listening exactly. to his own calls.
Any ideas of what it might be? I mean, because with Soto, John Sterling can go a lot of different directions with that. That feels like a layup for him. That's like giving LeBron James like a 4 foot rim. You know what I mean? Like that's way too easy for him.
Yeah, I mean, and like Juan Soto, it kind of rolls off the tongue. It's like a, you know, pretty short. There's only like three syllables in his entire name.
So Juan kind of sounds like one. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot.
It's
going to
be something. It's going to be the stupidest thing you've ever heard in your life. I don't know what it's going to be, but it will be.
I miss the Grandy Man calls. I gotta be honest.
I'll tell you guys what. While we're on this topic of Soto, he looks right in pinstripes. He's a guy that I feel like was made to be a Yankee.
No, I agree. He looks good.
Any Yankee fan looks
like Garrett Cole. For example, looks fucking awful in pinstripes. He looks terrible. Like he had so much
all the aura
when he was on the Astros. He had his hair and his beard, like he looks so much worse on the Yankees. But Soto, I don't know what it looks right. It looks right, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And if for no other reason than like back in 2018 when the Yankees played the Nationals and they came to New York, Juan Soto's dad was there and he was wearing his Yankee hat and Yankee jersey and he was just holding a sign that said, "I'm a Yankee fan, but today I'm cheering for Juan Soto, Washington's, like, his number 22. So, like, he's been, you know, he grew up in a house where his dad was cheering for the Yankees. So I think that it feels right, too. And I'm not one that's, like,
do you think they'll give him the bag
person, but I hope so. They fucking better.
December?
Sorry, can I curse?
No, yeah. Absolutely.
100%.
Who else even is there to give him the Dodgers always? But, like, we don't do that anymore.
The Dodgers are going to be, like, $8 bajillion with 90% of it deferred.
Yeah, they'll need an outfield.
Mookie doesn't play the outfield anymore.
Oh, the Giants. I feel like they are kind of a sleeper in the
they keep
market.
Missing out on the
they
big
keep
games.
Trying. They keep getting so, fucking, so close.
They're the bridesmaid they of the last two off
seasons. They've gotten a couple of those mid-tier. I mean, they just got Soler. They got Chappie. My first time.
They got them.
Yeah,
there's so many
we got them, ladies and gentlemen.
We got our guy. That's like the Jason Marquis Nationals commercial.
Jason Marquis.
We got him. He's coming to D.C.
He could have gone to Philly for what, a cheesesteak? He could have stayed in Colorado.
But yes, I do think the Yankees are going to give Soto the bag.
Well, who else? I mean, I'm trying of your offense. It's Soto, Verdugo, Glaber. Is anyone else?
Rizzo.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Rizzo. I mean, geez, that's half the offense right there is free agents at the end of the year.
Yeah, DJ LeMahieu. He got six. I don't know if he's a free agent. They signed him until he was like 38.
No, he's got a couple years left. Where are you on him? That's another good one.
That was baffling when they gave him the bag. I was like, I don't know
how
they're going to get all this.
He fucking sucked last year. He was terrible.
And people are like, oh.
He's getting 15 mil for the next 3 years.
Ooh. Yeah, like the contract. I mean, now that we're a few years removed, I'm over it. But I knew something was up in 2019. Like there was no way he was repeating that. And of course, 2020, we had that stupid 60 game season that he went off in that too, but who gives a shit?
Oh my god, that season was unreal. In 50 games, he went 364, 421, 590. The OPS was over 1,000. The OPS plus was 178.
He was in the top three MVP season.
That's a terribly fake season.
He came in third for MVP vote.
I remember watching that MVP show and him, it looked like he had a cardboard cutout in his picture. He's just like,
yeah, what is DJ Lemayhew's aura there? Are you talking about aura?
No aura.
Like 2019, he was great, and you were like, okay, so like maybe he's not a product of course. Then he does that in 50 games in 20. Like, I don't blame him for giving him the bag, but it hasn't aged well. No. That's all.
And I mean, he is versatile. He can play a bunch of different positions in the infield, and he's pretty good, but who gives a shit about that, right? You know, like, I just need him to not hit a million ground balls this year. I just need him to get on base sometimes. I just have to hope, guys, that all these 35 plus year old players or guys that are almost as old as I am can just pull it together for one magical year, just like a gigantic Kirk Gibson year, but for the Yankees, where every player just has that moment when we really need it.
Well, one of the younger guys, and we talked about it at the start, and we just mentioned him, now the time has passed a little bit, one of those younger guys, how okay are you with Alex Verdugo being a member of your favorite baseball team? Because in the moment, you were not happy whatsoever.
I never said that. I love Alex Verdugo. I always have. I'm okay. I mean, the Yankees shoved Josh Donaldson in my face for
recently retired years. Josh Donaldson.
Yes.
Legend of the game.
So at this point, whatever.
You could deal with Verdugo.
Yeah. Like Verdugo, I like the Yankees bringing in some guys that have some personality, because the Yankees are just like a very milquetoast sort of organization.
I'll tell you what, I'm sorry to cut you off, but speaking of shape, please. I mean, he looks just sickening with the clean face.
He looks like an instant with tattoos.
Yeah, like actually, it's bad. There's that shot of him walking into the facility or whatever, the reveal, and it was like a jump scare. It's like, ugh, what is that?
I do. Those reveals are always really funny. I mean, of all players, though, he doesn't look horrible. There are some guys that's like, wow,
he looks horrible.
Yeah, he looks really bad.
He looks like he runs that McDonald's like the fucking Navy. That's what he does.
Yeah,
he does. Yes, 100%. He's got a Cookie Monster fitted in his locker.
Osiris sneakers. Yeah, the whole works. You name it. That's Doogie when he steps foot in the Bronx, man.
I'm scared how Yankees fans are going to treat him if it goes south this year. If he's a little lackadaisical again.
The Yankee fans don't treat anyone well. So, I mean,
So I'm saying, like, it could get nasty.
I feel like he can take it, especially because he's been on the Red Sox all this time. And coming into the Bronx, which is an extremely hostile environment for those players, especially in the outfield. So I feel like there's nothing that he won't be able to handle. You know what I mean? Like,
he's chirped with Yankee fans.
Yeah.
Before,
yeah, exactly. So.
He can't running to first. That's something he consistently can't handle.
Showing up on time.
Showing up on time.
Yeah.
In his right. So Yankee fans would be like, he's fine.
Yeah, hard worker, gritty.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Liam and Jake, if you had any tips on rooting for Alex Verdugo.
Have any tips? I would say really enjoy the first few months of the season because it's
special. That first half is going to be electric.
It's consistently always downhill after like July, June,
I will say,
the Yankees the last few years, so that's fine.
Yeah, April, May, and June, Verdugo is special. He's special.
If you don't like ground balls from DJ LeMahieu, you are gonna hate ground balls from Alex Verdugo. He's gonna pound it into
from the lineup that brought you DJ LeMahieu's grounded into double plays.
It's okay. Nothing can be worse than Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. He had like more double plays that he grounded into than anybody on the team, and he was on a team with fucking Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. So somehow he managed to beat them, and I'm just glad he's gone. So it can't. I'm going to say this, and it's really going to fuck me up, but nothing can be worse than that. And I'm sure this clip is going to be replayed when it does end up being worse.
It can be worse.
I thought getting rid of the shift would really help Verdugo, but it didn't at all.
No, seemed very...
Not at all.
He was very disheartened after not making the All-Star game last year. He made those comments.
And that was it.
Are you serious? That
was it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When he didn't make the All-Star game.
So here's what it was. He actually was probably like a fringe All-Star guy in like early June. And then he started campaigning for himself. And then he had an OPS of like 500 the rest of the year.
This guy let the All-Star game get under his skin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I think...
Didn't need to know about this.
I don't know. Did he directly insinuate Julio Rodriguez shouldn't have made it? Or was it fans who mentioned, like, well, if Julio got in and Verdugo didn't, like, it's just a sham. But, like, the game's also was played in Seattle, so... I remember that being at least one part of the discourse, being like, well, Verdugo's actually been better than Julio Rodriguez, so he should be in the All-Star game. I remember that being
Fitz, I don't recall. I don't recall, Fitz.
Do not recall.
Verdugo was just spending time on burner accounts.
Fitz,
like,
Fitz, you see,
should be in it.
Fitz, you see Jock Peterson named his kid Fitz?
I did not.
Really?
F-I-T-Z?
F-I-T-Z, that's his,
like,
first name.
Like, first name?
Yeah, Fitz.
The hell of a name.
I guess, huh?
Fitz Peterson.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so Verdugo's All-Star comments, they're up for interpretation. It could be Julio Rodriguez or it could be Austin Hayes. But the exact quote is, on being snubbed from the All-Star game, I just feel like it's a fan popularity contest. And like,
yes, that's exactly what it is.
And he said, and the person who went in shouldn't be there.
Maybe he should try being more popular with fans. As he tried that.
They're like, wow, yeah, very good, Alex. That is what it is. Thank you for catching up.
Show up on time. Maybe.
I mean, that first half was special. 290, 360, 457. The OPS was 817.
The walk-off against the Twins where his first thought
he
was.
He had 26 doubles. Yeah. 26 doubles in the first half.
And yeah, then, what do you have in the second half? Six?
He had 11.
Yeah, okay.
Then he went 225, 268, 367 for an OPS of 635 in the second half.
So that's
so funny. It's so funny the Yankees outfield is like two of the greatest hitters of the last, you know, 50 years, and then Alex Verdugo.
And Trent Grisham. Like,
Trent Grisham.
Oh my God,
too?
I forgot
that's
they
right.
got Grisham,
oh,
too.
Oh, that's right. Huh.
I can only hope that Verdugo realizes that, like, in New York, not only was he hated, and now he's on the Yankees because he was on the Red Sox, but he's also playing alongside Soto and especially Aaron Judge. Hopefully he doesn't have any delusions of grandeur about the popularity contest getting him into this All-Star game. It's like, dude, you are not going to be on the mind of Yankee fans. I'm sorry. So just hopefully he's just kind of left that in Boston.
Here's a hot take coming. I bet Trent Grisham is starting over Verdugo by the end of the year.
I believe that.
I believe that. They'll move Judge over, maybe.
I'm just looking at like their stats right now, and if Verdugo, I mean, Grisham's batting average is like staggeringly bad, but he could take a walk.
And now I know
he's got some pop.
I know what you guys are going to say after I ask this question, and I'll preface it by saying I understand what happened in that wild card game in 2019, but how is Trent Grisham's defense?
He's got two gold gloves.
Yeah,
he has two gold gloves. Yeah,
right? Picked it up a little bit.
And Verdugo was better this past year. He was a gold glove finalist. He made some strides in right field.
I didn't realize that the Brewers traded him that offseason. Understandable.
He can't stay after that.
Yeah, that's a tough one to recover from.
Yeah, I get that.
Especially after your rookie year. That's.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure he just ran. He ran past the ball and just out the stadium.
Found the exit from the bullpen. Like,
kept going. Never
just jumped
back.
Right into the Potomac at that point.
Let's talk rotation. Let's talk rotation.
Wasn't it?
Say it again, Emily.
Wasn't that hit by Juan Soto, that ball?
It was then. My favorite little aspect of that play is Full that circle. Juan Soto makes a completely boneheaded mistake to get thrown out there. Or maybe he did it like he caught himself
into
right a run
in
down
the
so the other run could score or something like that. It was along those. He got like tagged out in a pickle and he immediately gets tagged out, but he still is like firing up the crowd. It's a hilarious visual. It's a great vision. That was a crazy, crazy
It was
moment.
Bottom eight, wasn't it?
Hader was on, I think. Yeah, I think Hader was on the mound.
Gave him the lead, and that was nuts because Scherzer looked ass. And like,
was it Hader, or am I confusing Hader's appearance in the All-Star game when he was outed for his like racist tweets?
No, I'm pretty sure Hader Hader was in at that point. I think it was off. Okay, Hader.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. Jake, you wanted to talk rotation.
I do, yes.
Talk rotation. You're on a podcast.
What is it right now? What is the rotation going to be on opening day? What do we think
for the Yankees?
Yeah.
Cole, Rodon, I guess Stroman, then probably Clark Schmidt, and then I guess Nestor. Or Clark and Nestor.
I got to say, I wish that was our rotation.
You're relying on a lot of bounce back in that, like a lot.
I mean, isn't that baseball? In a lot of respects.
Well, like, also the American League Cy Young winner is at the top of that rotation.
Yes, I was going to say, after Cole, it doesn't inspire confidence, I don't think.
I mean, Rodon was good. I meant to say Stroman.
Yeah, Stroman was pretty good last year.
He kind of tailed off at the end, but he did end up having a solid season.
I don't need pitchers, especially. I don't need guys to be Gerrit Cole. You know, I need them to just be able to put the team in a position to win. And that's where the lineup comes in. That I don't need Marcus Stroman to put up zeros on the board. I just need him to not put up fucking seven runs. You know, I just need those guys to put the team in a position to win. And the Yankees bullpen is always pretty strong. So what else is available? You know, who are they can get Montgomery back. He's pretty good. They're going to get Snell. But besides that, this is who they have to roll with. And I think in terms of the rotations in the American League, it's not one of the worst ones by far.
I guess that's fair. That's fair enough of it.
Yeah, Nestor's another interesting guy. I feel like every guy in that rotation, it's like, like they're other than Cole, it's like really, it could go a lot of ways. Nestor, he was great, and then he was like pretty mid last year. Yeah.
Well, he was hurt for most of last year. So he didn't really, how many innings did he really throw?
He only made 12 starts, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, like, he was hurt. Clark Schmidt's been, he's been pretty decent. I mean, in terms of the back end of the rotation, that's not terrible. Especially considering Nestor was like our, Nestor was like our third guy in the third spot 2 years ago. So I think that having someone who stuck it out pretty well in that spot will be able to be pretty successful. And it's a long season, so I really have faith that the Yankees, if they see the need and there's some glaring problems or some glaring injuries, especially in the rotation, that they're going to try to make some sort of move by the deadline, because what's the point of spending all that money? You know, I know it's to get people in the door, and they'll always have that, but why bother trading for Juan Soto? Why bother doing these moves, bringing in guys who could potentially cost more money when you can just have guys like Michael King and just have that rotation constantly churning out, like churning and burning pitchers? So I don't know. I'm sort of rambling in the hope that what I'm saying makes sense, because I just need to be positive. We're weeks away from opening day. I feel like there's very few rotations that it's like you look at and it's like, yeah, solid five, like one
top,
through five.
Yeah,
like,
top to bottom.
Are there any? Besides maybe the Dodgers, I guess, but even then, Walker Buehler, he's been hurt most of the last few years.
Dustin May. Over for him, no?
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like it's Walker Buehler.
Yeah,
I don't even think he's
no guarantee from Tyler Glass now at that point.
Yeah, I don't trust Glass now to give you 100%.
You're relying on like Emmett Sheehan to give you innings in the back.
Otani can't pitch.
Otani not this year, right? Exactly.
So like, I mean, who's really got it in terms of their solid rotation?
Braves are pretty
Blue
good.
Jays.
Yeah, Blue Jays, I suppose.
Jays are solid.
I think that's
I like the O's rotation. I got to keep it real.
The Rays Rays just go into MLB the Show and hit create a player.
Yeah, I mean, the Rays.
The janitor at Tropicana is going to come out and be the third star.
Oh, he was actually a drive line this winter. Yeah, he throws 98 now with movement. Yeah. That's actually a good transition, Emily, because I think a lot of people are going to project the Yankees to be high up in the AL East, if not the American League East winners. Is there one team out of the bunch? You know, obviously the Orioles are up and coming. They're exciting. The Rays are always in the mix. The Blue Jays still have some start power. The Red Sox are a baseball team. Are there any of the other teams in the American League East that kind of give you some pause, being like, oh man, like this is the group of guys that we really got to watch out for?
I think that I think it's still Baltimore. You know, part of me wants to say the Blue Jays, but I never feel afraid of them for some reason. And last year, Baltimore was just lights out. And obviously not having Batista in their bullpen is going to hurt. So I don't know how they're really going to make up for that. But I don't think that Batista was really the biggest difference between them being a 103 win team and being, you know, a 70 win team, you know? So I think that the Orioles at this point are still the team to beat. I think the Rays are going to be good as always, but Wander Franco and that whole disgusting mess, I think is going to fuck with them big time. They're not really the strongest, like their ownership isn't super strong. And like, they don't really, I don't know. I just feel like they're kind of done after that. And yeah, you're right. Boston is a baseball team. That's for
they,
sure.
Out of all 30 major league teams, they are undoubtedly one of them.
They are one of them.
So
can't take that away from you.
Head in your heart projections for 2024. What do you believe for the Yankees? What is what like? When is their last game of the year? What's the result of that last game of the year? Are they going all the way? Again, head projection, heart projection. What's going through your mind and your heart?
I think that there's a real chance for them to win the AL East. So I'm going to say that, yeah, I think they end up on top. And I think that, you know, I want to say, yeah, this is their year. I'm feeling really, really confident with Juan Soto on the team. But the AL East has been tough the last few years. And I know they're going to come down. They're going to face those fucking Astros. And it's going to be – I obviously have a very severe PTSD from the last few years.
War flashbacks.
Yes. So, no, fuck it. Yes. I think the Yankees are going to win the AL East, and I think they're going to win the World Series.
I'm sure the only Yankee fan projecting ring 28 this year. We won't be hearing that at all for the next handful of months.
Number 28.
Yeah. Get your Tim's out.
That's right.
Get the Yankee with no brim out.
Puffer jacket.
The black Nupsie. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, that's there you have it for your Yankees projection. That fucking awful. It's gonna be so fun when they crash and burn again.
I know. I can't wait to have this replayed to me.
We bring it back.
I never said that. That is AI.
We do live reaction to this exact episode. Like we have live commentary over like a director's cut. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. We'll set aside in our agenda book. We'll set some time aside in October, November to make sure we get that done. In the meantime, though, yeah, absolutely. In the meantime, Emily, where can people find you if they want to hear more, read more? All that stuff. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @mshedoesit. And I do have a podcast that I haven't done in a long time, but I'm going to get it back going. It's at Breakballs Pod. And we release episodes once a week, and I'm way less confident on that show. Let me put it that way. So if you like this show, you'll probably like that one, and it won't be as rah-rah Yankees.
There you go. There you have it, folks. Again, Emily Nyman. We are already looking forward, again, like we had mentioned, the director's cut of this episode coming out in October. Always love having you on the podcast. We appreciate you being a good sport and coming on. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you.
Skip it up and data. We're back. Ponald Lansdowne, Jake Fitz, and Liam coming at you with more Red Sox talk after the Yankees talk. Again, thank you very much to Emily Nyman for coming back onto the pod to talk about those Bronx Bombers. Now, back to the tees.
Yeah,
Jake
right.
mentioned. Yes.
Okay. I wanted
because it's
I
like
know
10 minutes of real time because we've been riffing in between the. Maybe it'll be B-roll. Maybe it won't.
I know. I'm certain that everybody is eagerly awaiting us to talk about Jordan Montgomery because we haven't yet.
Ever. Period.
But two things. What? First things first. You never know. But secondly, I tweeted this today. Scott Boras is fighting for his life. So I don't think it's like some easy thing. Everybody's like, oh, the Red Sox should make this happen. He is fighting for today. He's calling our dear friend Bob Nightingale. He's like, Bob, you got to tweet out that four more teams are
you got to carry some water
guys.
For me, Bob.
You got to like it's clearly there's it's not great over there at Boras Corp. So I don't think it's some easy thing. Like, you know, all these beat writers are saying like, you know, like the Red Sox should just do whatever they need to do to make this happen. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of teams could fit what we think Montgomery will get paid in to their budget. So maybe he's just they're like straight up asking for something ridiculous. So that's one thought. And then I also have another thought. The other thought is it's very weird to see the juxtaposition of the national writers and the local Red Sox writers in like in the Montgomery saga. Because the local guys are like, these fucking pores, they're not.
It's not
no
happening.
Shot.
Yeah, but then Jim Bowden's like, oh no, like front runners for Montgomery are the Red Sox.
Yeah, and then there's a
like,
new national guy every couple days saying that they're the clear team that would get him. So I don't know if the. But also, there's been no leaks from. There's been very few leaks from Craig about anything since he started. So I don't know. I mean, hard to say really. But I'm trying to. The only deal. It's like Giolito, people. But that one just made sense anyway. I don't even know if that was a real leak or anything. People just linked the two of them because it was logical. But like Liam Hendricks. I
mean, but so does...
There wasn't a peep about Hendricks before he signed.
Yeah.
Same with the Verdugo
trade.
Same with
Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah, same with that. So I don't know. I mean, I think if it happens, it'll be out of nowhere. But also, you know, like we said last week, but it's a week later now, and he still hasn't signed.
Another week.
We
can loop this back to the Red Sox in a second, but I just want to quickly say in regards to the whole Boris being washed thing, I understand that Matt Chapman, you know, he has some shortcomings at the plate, like especially like he wasn't as great last year. He's one of the best fielders at third base that we've seen like in the last 20 years, and he couldn't get $20 million average annual value. That's valuable, his defense. And if he's able to...
He was still a positive hitter last year, too.
Right, yeah. He wasn't, you know, hitting like 38 homers again like he did.
He had a great April.
Yeah, he was hitting like 380 in April or something like that. It was something crazy.
I don't think he hit again after that.
He may have been a little bit of a juice ball merchant because there was one year with Oakland. I think he was...
Yeah, he had 36.
Oh, my Lord.
36, there you go, yeah. I remember being very excited.
But I mean, he had 27 in 22.
Right. Yeah. He could give you 20, 25 on his day. I mean, it's a tough place to hit in San Francisco now, but even with the defense, yeah, I would have thought he would at least get $20 million average annual value. Nope. I think it was what, 3 years, 56. He signed with, San Francisco with the G-men.
Well, he'll likely be a free agent next year anyway.
Yeah. Cause
it's like an opt out after each year. Come on now.
Yeah. So yeah, Boris big time washed.
I've always thought, like, I don't understand what a team gains from those opt-out stuff deals. Like,
it incentivizes the player to keep playing well if they want to get another
buddy. But if it's an
opt-out
after one, it's like, why? I mean, I guess if you're really trying to win the World Series that year, which every team should be, blah, blah, blah. But, I don't know. It's like, well, because then you're stuck with the guy if he blows,
like,
and if he's good, you get him for 1 year.
You
like,
get him on
no...
a relative discount, I suppose,
but
that's
for
sort
one
of the
year,
incentive.
You know,
right.
The whole reason you sign these big deals is to lock a guy in for a couple years.
Right.
I don't
know. I'm not saying I disagree.
Don't think the Giants are good enough to like be doing.
I think
something
they're solid.
Like
I think they could be in the mix for a wild card spot. I think they'll be better than the Diamondbacks.
No, I disagree.
No, because the D-backs actually have made a lot of good signings this offseason. Yeah. So I'll walk that back. Like they just had Suarez, obviously E-Rod. They've improved that team, and they have a lot of the same guys back into play. Like Carroll should take another step forward. So, but I could see the Giants like along that level though. They've made some good signings. I love the Soler signing for them. He actually might be able to give them some power, which they've desperately needed for a while. Lee could be pretty solid if things break his way.
Yeah, I was going to say over the weekend there was like a potential Giants lineup graphic that went out, and I was
that
like,
lineup stinks.
I mean, I'm not like I don't think we're in any position to like stick our nose up at. I think it's like
I think it's
that's
the same
wild card
us.
Worthy.
I think it's
wild
like a similar
worthy.
Lineup to us.
No, we'd have a better lineup. The Giants don't have a good of his have.
I do think like Devers and Costas alone.
Yes, what I was just about to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those two by itself.
Well, like, I do think it's like it looks like one of those bullshit even year lineups that wins the World Series, though. We're like, what is this team?
Post Posey, though, man. I don't know. They miss Buster.
Even year merchants.
I still can't believe Buster retired when he did. That was crazy.
He was like, he had a really good season.
He had like too, a career he? Year. It was like, eh, fuck it. Just go play first, Buster. Why do you know? You don't have to pull a Mauer or something.
Oh my, yeah, that season was nuts.
I miss him. I miss Buster. Hall of Famer?
I was just about to ask. I'd say so.
three rookie rings. Of the year, MVP, three World Series.
Yeah, an MVP, cornerstone of three World Championship teams, pinnacle of the position on his day. He had, I mean, how long was his prime? He had probably about a 7-year stretch, I'd say, where he was. I don't even think
like his one bad year, you could argue, was 2019, where he went 257, 320. The OPS was 688. But then he did not play in the COVID Mickey Mouse year. He opted out. Then came back in 21 at 34 and went 304, 390, 499. The OPS was nearly 900. Like, there's not really any lull here.
And especially with the door being opened on first ballot for Mauer, maybe Posey doesn't get in first ballot, but I think he gets in.
Okay.
Like,
I think he gets in first ballot. He's more decorated than Mauer.
I would vote for first ballot. I would.
He's got the rings.
I'm also like, I as I grow older, as I reach my wise sage years. I'm a bigger Hall guy. I like to give people their flowers.
You should grow out your beard to be like really like a wise sage.
No, because it gets like a Brillo pad. It gets nasty business. No, I can't really grow out this beard.
What about just the chin? Like, just grow out the chin really long.
Brillo pad.
Fuck.
Yeah. What are you gonna do? My hair grows a Brillo pad on the beard, and then my like head of hair grows out like a porcupine. Can't flow anything like that.
You're a disaster. Just
grows straight out. Yeah.
I've been struggling with my hair. I don't know what to do with it.
I like yours. You kind of get the wave.
It's coming in nice.
And Liam's got the lion's mane as well.
Is like,
yeah, I need to grow. This is all grown back out now. Now that we've done the flosectomy.
I kind of think I might just let it rip till I get back from California
out of the shower. But there's nothing going on there. It's
great audio experience.
Exactly. Yeah, this is great. Yeah, for a Red Sox podcast where we've talked about the San Francisco
Giants.
I got another Red Sox thing.
Yes. Yeah, ready for this one? Rafaela, give him the job. I've seen enough.
Think so. 10 at-bats is from what I've seen.
10 at-bats, I've seen enough. No, 15 at-bats.
World of difference. 15 at-bats,
I've seen enough.
Well, he's walked a couple times, hasn't he? He's commanded the zone a little bit better.
Four times.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
he's doing that. That's all I need to say.
I think that's more than he walked in the majors last year.
that is like a telltale sign for him, though. You know what I mean? Because he can have good in-game power. And I mentioned this on the show, that Athletic article. I forget if it was Jen McCaffrey or like Keith Law. I think Keith Law mentioned it, as a matter of fact. Like, he could still make contact outside of the zone. He's shown that in the minors. I don't have the stat right in front of me. If Rafaela is even giving you, and I think I said this on the pod last week too, but I'll reiterate it. If he's giving you even like an 85 OPS plus, 90 OPS plus with his defense, fine with that. 100%. Give him the job. You're right, Jake. Because that frees up other things too. Because you throw Tyler O'Neill in left field. He's a gold glove caliber fielder on the corner. They're really big on Abreu. You could throw him in right. Figure that out. I don't know if you want to.
I'm good with the outfield. Do whatever you want to do. I'm like completely comfortable.
I'm content. I'm content with the outfield.
Yeah. Wherever you want to put Duran, like maybe you put O'Neill in right as a change, and then Duran plays left, or with Duran's speed, you put him in right. Whatever you want to do. If Rafaela is just treading water offensively and patrolling center, I'm good with that. 100% good with that.
Jake, to answer your question, he walked exactly four times in 28 games.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. So we're cooking with gas.
He's already walked as many times in the spring.
Yeah, we're cooking with gas.
Everybody's getting on base.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell, like, read too much into spring training stuff, right? But if that's been a part of his development over the last couple of months and it's starting to show itself that way, I think that's a huge step forward in his development. To be able to readjust to what Major League pitching is offering you, that's so much of unlocking the puzzle of a hitter. And, you know, hopefully Rafaela can continue those strides. Hopefully we're able to see that into fruition, because the defense is dazzling stuff. And especially with the positions up the middle, especially with catcher, second and short, and in center field, building a defensive stalwart up the middle is so important. I know that's old school baseball 101, but it's worth...
Wins championships.
Exactly. It's worth repeating that, especially what we just saw in 2023. And if Rafaela can be that going forward.
Teal, Meyer, Grissom, Trevor Story's, I don't know.
Well, Grissom isn't like this whiz defensively at second base. But
Nick York.
Nick York. It's just, if he can just be fine at second, I'll take that.
Bly. How do you say his name?
Blaze. Sure.
Blaze.
Yeah. Where's he? I haven't heard from him.
Who, Blaze or Blyce?
Blyce.
He was like major league playing hurt last year, right?
Well, I know. I mean, he tore his ACL, but.
Well, that's not helpful. There's an update from November 21st. That's years ago. It just says he's gearing up. According to the Boston Herald,
gearing up. Aren't we all?
That's all I got.
Aren't we all?
That's all we can do.
Gearing up. His preparation is going full throttle.
This is nearing a return to action. So I don't know. Maybe he'll hang around extended spring training.
CJ Cron, by the way.
The Cron Zone, baby. That's Bobby Dalbec. Bobby Dalbec is gotta be pissed. If I'm Bobby Dalbec, I'm that Drewski reaction where he throws the champagne glass.
Why? What has he shown us to be like, into this guy?
I'm telling you, I don't know. If Cron wasn't there, I don't know. You need a right-handed bat who can play the corner infield positions.
I think he could still, Bob could still make the team. If Cron doesn't hit at all in spring training, if he stinks. It's a minor league deal.
Yeah, right? So it's not.
I think it has an opt out right before opening day. I want to say
that would make sense.
Yeah. Song of the week.
Cron on Lansdowne.
that's what we have for CJ Cron. Hey, it's a good swing for Fenway.
I don't know. I haven't thought about CJ Cron in 3 years.
I would have loved CJ Cron. I would have loved CJ Cron in 2021.
I was gonna say CJ Cron in, I believe, 2022 had a really good year. 2021 or 2.
I think. One.
Yeah, I mean, he was
22
off in Colorado.
Nope, 21. And, 21. But he was an all-star in 22. Peculiar enough. Quiet as it's kept.
I like that.
They're not telling
us. I've never heard that one.
Quiet as it's kept.
Their liberal media won't tell you this. CJ Cron was an all-star in
2022.
That's more of a. I will give credit. Trill Withers will throw that out from time to time. He'll be as quiet as it's kept. Go on.
I like that a lot.
I'm gonna start 905 OPS for CJ Cron in Colorado in 2021. 783, but an all-star appearance in 22.
Wasn't
the all-star game in 22? No, 21. The all-star game was in Colorado.
Coors Merchant, I fear. What do we think?
Probably.
No, because he was showing.
Where was
stuff.
He
had a good year in the Tampa Angels? In 2018. Yeah. He came up with the Angels.
Oh,
finished with the Angels last year.
The Cron's out. Yeah, I mean, listen, if I get one home run out of him in the regular season and I could tweet the Cron Zone, that's enough for
it's
me.
All worth it. It's all worth
yeah,
it.
That's enough for me. I always felt bad for CJ Cron because I feel like Jake Cronenworth kind of took the Cron Zone from him.
Knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a Cron.
Too wordy for me. That would take too long to type out.
Liam, get your Photoshop skills on this. Can we get undecided voter Ken Cron to ask a question to Hillary and Donnie?
Jesus Christ.
Get CJ Cron in the red sweater.
Fuck off. Fuck off, mate.
You're working on your Aussie accent.
CJ Crow to the polls. I don't know.
I see you played Knifey Spoonie before.
Song of the week?
Song of the week.
I'll
start us off here because to keep it with the theme of songs related to the city that we were previewing in the American League East, a New York song. I was just talking about it on Twitter with Christy. Shout out Christy about the walk-up music stuff. Let's go Change Clothes by Jay-Z. Black Album. New York.
You a big Jay-Z guy?
I do enjoy Jay-Z. I wouldn't say he's like my favorite rapper, but he's Jay-Z for a reason. He's got classics for a reason.
Sure.
I do like Jay-Z.
I just hate like CEO Jay-Z.
The 30 minutes with Jay-Z or $50,000 Jay-Z.
I just hate that.
You take the $50,000, you wouldn't take dinner with Jay-Z?
Correct. I would take
$5,000. Okay, good to know.
I'd take probably $40. I just don't like any CEO brain person I hate, you know, like bottom line kind of guy. I'm an artist, Fitz. I'm an artist.
Artiste.
He's a creative.
But yeah. I mean, you talk about Blueprint.
Oh, Blueprint. I love
Blueprint. Like Black Album, Blueprint 2.
I'll tell you when I was 10, Blueprint 3 meant a lot to me.
Blueprint 3 is okay.
I fucking run this town.
Special.
No, special. Shane will have Young Forever. Young Forever, that's a great tune.
With Mr. Hudson, I think it was.
Yeah, Mr. Hudson, he kills it on it. All right, my song of the week. I've been going back and forth, but I'll tell you what, I've been listening to this one an awful lot. Friday, I'm in Love by The Cure.
The Cure. Ooh. Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little Cure.
The Cure is awesome. Love The Cure. Like, I've really, over the last, like, you know, growing up, like, you'd hear them from time to time, like, oh, you know, some of the bigger songs. But, like, over the last, I'd say, like, 4 or 5 years or so, I kind of expanded my dive into The Cure. The Cure is great, man. They're so, so good.
And then I posted this meme it's Finn Wolfhard flipping off the camera, and it's like, I don't care.
And then the rest of it is Monday's Blue, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah.
So.
Tuesday, great, Wednesday, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Song of the Week for Jake.
Great riff.
Also, it's just like, I cannot be in a bad mood listening to that song. It's such a, like, I'm like, oh, you know what? There's good in this world when I hear that song. It's not.
I'd be lying if I said there have not been times where I leave work on a Friday and I just hit the.
What's the meme? What's the meme where it's like, oh, there are unimaginable horrors, and then it's like, on the bottom panel. You guys know that one? And it's like, it's like a little, no?
Like a Wojak excited.
Those hands immediately like brought the place comma.
Yeah, I think it's that same. It's like the world is indifferent. What's your song?
Mine is in honor of the fifth rotation spot. Who Can It Be Now? Men at Work.
Men at Work?
Yes. I found it, by the way. Oh, there's no hands. I imagined the hands, but otherwise it is what I was.
Basically like sway facing.
No, it's actually it's the little blushing bald one.
Oh, yes.
yes, of course.
Do you guys know this one that I sent you? Indubitably. That's how I feel about.
Never seen this one.
No,
I actually have seen it.
With Bosnian.
With Bosnian Chungus.
I don't know. That's just the one I grabbed. It's Bosnian Chungus for you.
That one's getting tweeted from the pod account tonight.
Bosnian Chungus or that with something else?
No, Bosnian Chungus.
That's just the name of the episode.
Bosnian Chungus. That's actually
pitching for the Red Sox.
That's a good template, though. Like, we could do it'd be funny to do like Bayo and Maguire on the bottom or something.
Ooh,
like,
Bosnian Bayo.
It's just him in the City Connect jersey.
Yeah, right? There you go.
We love
Men at Work, though. Liam,
that's a great poll, Liam. That's like a TikTok song, isn't it? I've been hearing that on TikTok.
Yes, I did see a TikTok with it.
Liam, you know why I thought you saw Dune? Is because you fucking sent me a TikTok referencing Dune 2.
Yeah, well, it's not like I don't know what happens.
Well, you know they kiss?
What, who? Skarsgård and Butler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
We improvised it. I keep seeing that headline going around.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's why I thought you had seen the movie.
No, but...
I might listen to some work after this. Now, I was going to listen to
I might, too.
Cure.
Yeah, it kind of got me feeling the
I was going to listen to Pictures of You by The Cure, which is one of the most beautiful songs like that I can think of. That's an amazing
Fitz, are you a Radiohead guy?
Okay, so we're going to do 30 more minutes here.
No. Yes or no? Yeah, okay.
Radiohead,
that's what I figured. Because I saw
all we needed.
I saw Austin Butler did an interview where he was like, In Rainbows, that's a perfect album.
Yeah.
I was like, that reminds me of Fitz.
In Rainbows is excellent. That's not their best. I am a little basic normie pick here. Their best album, I think, is OK Computer. I adore that album. That's the one that really got me into them. Kid A is close. So fuck you with your wrap it up.
I'm for our listeners, I am making a wrap it up motion.
Now, it's only going to make me want to go more, Mr. Wallinger. Kid A obviously is groundbreaking. What an album. I've never seen a shooting star. That was the first line in the Pitchfork review. That's become a meme. In Rainbows is brilliant, though. Brilliant, brilliant album. They're due for a fucking album. They're coming up on a decade without having released an album. I think Tom York and the guitarist there, Johnny Greenwood, they kind of do their own thing. I haven't really listened to it. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's good. Especially if Johnny Greenwood's involved. He's done some music scores, Jake, that you might be into. You as well, Liam. I think he did the music for There Will Be Blood. Johnny Greenwood, the guitarist for Radiohead.
He's a friend of PTA.
Yes. He's done a couple of others.
Let's see.
I just can't remember
Let's
them off
see.
The top of my
Fitz.
Head.
Fitz, wrong! He did not do There Will Be Blood.
I thought he did.
No, what he did the Phantom Thread.
Phantom Thread. Who did There Will Be... I thought he did do There Will Be Blood.
No, he's... Oh, you're right. There it is.
Yeah, fuck you.
He is a real friend of PTA. He's done 4 PTA movies.
How about that?
No, wow.
Yeah.
Quiet as they've kept it.
Quiet as they've kept it, yeah. Yes, Radiohead is great.
All right, great. I'm glad... I'm glad
now we know.
I asked.
Now we know.
I'm glad I asked. Well, that's all I've got.
Yeah.
So, that's all I got. Predictions for next week. Is Montgomery still out there?
Yes. For sure.
Yeah.
That could be a recurring bit, too. Will Jordan Montgomery sign?
New POL account has Jordan Montgomery signed yet.
Or we could do, Panda Watch from Anchorman. We could do, Gumby Watch.
The mood is tense.
Liza Minnelli has outlived the free agency of Jordan Montgomery. Oh, man. So, anyways, that's going to be the show. Again, we thank Emily Nyman for coming on to the program to talk about the Junkies. And we thank you for listening to another edition of the show. Really do appreciate all your support as we get closer to opening day. You can almost taste it.
Help us get to 2,000 followers. We're so close.
We're close. At Pod on Lansdowne. Probably should have referenced that earlier in the show.
Don't forget that if we get to 2,000, we all will try on the new Fanatics pants.
Before opening day.
That's right.
The stipulation.
Yeah, that's the stipulation. Yeah.
And if we get to 3,000, then we don't have to. So...
Yep.
That's it then. So emojis for the week, pants emoji, by the way, based on that.
Pants. Okay.
For Jake, for Liam, I'm Fitz. You're you. We'll talk to you next week. Go Sox and obey your mother.
Obey your mother.
Obey your mother.
Ooh, that was a strong one.
That was really good, yeah.
enjoyed the great season. Have fun. And knowing that better times are ahead for the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, there you mother!